It's Thursday, November 1st, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 813, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our November special, save 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. In just a few days, we're going to have a .com special as well. The code's not active yet. We'll share with that on a future show or Geek News Central. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of things to cover. I'm going to tell you, we want to give a warm welcome to the Hana, to all the folks that are longtime listeners of the show. We want to thank you for being here. Of course, if you're new, checking out the show for the very first time, I tell you, you picked a great show to check in. We've got lots of stuff to share with you tonight on the tech side. Going to go into a few, as I like to call them, personal notes here at the beginning of the show. But hey, the very most important thing is really getting connected with the show. And if you're new, it's real easy to do so. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com and basically just visit the website and get subscribed to the RSS feed. You're going to find a link there in the second column of the website. There's a nice orange box with information there on RSS feed and iTunes. And of course, one thing that you could consider as well is just visit the site with your iPad. And let me show you how this works and see if I can bring this over here without messing this up. So what I've got is I've got the iPad here fired up, and all you got to do is visit with your iPhone or with the iPad, and all you got to do is to subscribe. You just got to click on the orange RSS feed, and what's going to happen is that's going to load the podcasting app, and boom, you're subscribed, and you're going to have access to the entire show, all the episodes. You can do that audio or video. So it's a great way to get subscribed to the show in a very, very quick way. So definitely consider getting subscribed to the show on your iPad or your Android device or any other mobile application that's out there. Don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can watch us in replay on Google TV, on your Apple TV, on your Roku, on your Boxy, on Samsung Smart TV, all on the Tech Podcast channel. With the exception of the Apple TV, you just have to dial us up in your podcast selection. So definitely check that out. Now, don't forget, you can reach me at Geek News on Twitter. Email address is geeknews@gmail.com. And our voicemail hotline open 24 hours a day is 619-342-7365. And we encourage you really to get connected up with the show as early as possible. So I tell you, got a lot of stuff to share tonight with you. I really do. And, you know, we're streaming live on live stream. They're back up. They had some issues earlier in the week because of Hurricane Sandy. We'll talk about that a little bit. And of course, the podcast awards are going on right now. The voting's going on. So that's going on like crazy. But, I don't want you guys to forget that we're part of the Tech Podcast Network here, and we want you to get over to techpodcast.com. Lots of great sites over there, all family safe content. So definitely check it out, and that way you'll be connected with all the tech shows that I'm affiliated with, and there's a bunch over there to pick from. We've added some new ones recently. Matter of fact, we got some in the hopper to review, so once I get that, there'll be probably another 10 or 15 shows on the network as well. As I mentioned, the Podcast Awards voting is going on right now, and you can get over there and vote for your favorite podcast. Basically, the voting went live last night while I was sitting in a massive traffic jam. And massive it was. So Tim, our manager for basically the guy that manages the site. I called him on the phone and he was barely awake. I said, put it on vote. And I said, I can't get to my computer to switch the, we got a little software switch we make to switch it into voting mode. And he flipped the switch for us and we were live. So you can come over and vote every day and vote for your favorite shows. 220 to pick from, 10 in each category. Definitely check it out. Hey, we want to take a few minutes here and thank our sponsor of the show. Of course, today, GoDaddy.com. We've got lots of great products and some great specials for you. We're going to be sharing with you some new codes in the coming days. But right now, go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's real easy to get there. All you got to do is click on that GoDaddy link in the second column of the website. This loads this page, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy with all my promo codes. And, of course, we've got that 20% off code right now, that 20, go 20 off to. That's a fantastic one to save a lot of cash in a hurry. Again, go 20 off to is a great domain name, a great promo code, excuse me. And talking with my rep over at GoDaddy, we're going to be introducing some new stuff as well. And I'm waiting on something very special to share with you guys as well. I'm hoping that's going to come back to me here in the coming days. But 12 to 14 codes there for you to use and to try out in a variety of different ways. It's really easy to not get your best savings. And what you should really do is when you get to that checkout counter, definitely try all the different code combinations. Look for the ones that'll fit best on based on your order. And that way you'll be able to save the most amount of money. We've got that host 199, Geek 5, Todd 20, Todd, ComSale, ComSale 3, Geek Central, Aloha, Geek SSL 12. Lots of codes, all do different things. Definitely check it out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or again, just follow the link on the main website and you'll find all the promo codes. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and taking care of us and keeping the lights on. And we hope that you'll support GoDaddy. I should mention here, it's the first of the month. It's we're into November already. My gosh, where's the year going? And the sponsors, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate the sponsors. I really do. I've got some checks to deposit that have come in, and it really makes a big difference. Being able to support my family and do things that we can do. You know, I'm getting ready to put out a big chunk of cash. I've got this stack of papers here. And they're all for the basically the stuff for CES. And I'm looking here at the Smart City. Actually, one sheet's missing. My daughter must have dropped it when she handed it over to me. We'll reprint that. But we're looking at $6,700 for bandwidth for 4 days. We're looking at about $400 for power, all the furniture for the booth, and everything else that goes along with it, and then shipping and everything. It's just $10,000 to get to the show before we even do 1 ounce of live. So we're going to be having a planning meeting this coming Saturday with the team and look forward to that. Of course, we'll have a roundtable. A tech podcast network. Well, we're not having a roundtable this weekend. We're having a Saturday morning tech. Get my shows straight. We have too many shows in the hopper at this point. So lots going on in planning for CES. The team is solidifying. I think I know who our numbers are going to be. And also found out that my mom is going to be basically helping us out as a booth staff this year. We're going to have her registered to be a staff person for the booth, going to be helping us out. So Sherry from the Sherry Cast, many of you don't know, but my mom and I did a show a number of years ago after my dad's death, and we did it for a while. We haven't done one in a long, long, long time, but the story surrounding my father's death and basically her recovery is on that website. The audio programming is still available. We'll have to maybe think about doing a show. She's coming out and she's going to visit for a couple of weeks. So we'll have her on when she is in for the holidays. So I want to share with you guys a couple of things here. I've got a copy of Windows 8 Pro. Matter of fact, I got two of them. We're going to upgrade a couple of laptops to begin with. Nothing that's critical. We're going to see how this works on laptops. So we're going to do a couple of machines that we have here. And I also was looking for a solution for basically my travel, being on the road and being able to have some lights. So I bought some really inexpensive mini burst lights or LED lights, and was able to get those on special. They were $160 each, which, you know, when you come to pro audio and video gear, it's nothing is inexpensive. So I'll be using these in my, of course, I don't have any great stands at this time to put them on. So I have to pick up some accessories to make sure that can mount them to the table that we're using. But we're going to be definitely using these on when I go to Texas next time to see if we can make sure we get enough background color to have good green screen coverage no matter where we're at. It's always a challenge. And, you know, I've been really thinking about my portable studio and how that's working out. Good intentions, but it just has not executed the way I want it to. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for it. And a lot of it has to do with the interface and a non-ease of switching. And it can really cause me to, I guess for a better reason, get befuddled. But to the folks over at Wirecast and Black Magic Design can't seem to get their act together and get these products tied together so that you can switch from one software interface. But that's, you know, here nor there. But we will see if they make any progress on that. But, of course, tonight's show, we're pumping it out on a TriCaster. We're simulcasting on our live stream box and also on Ustream as well. Matter of fact, right now, the live stream box is complaining about the internet speed. So it must be there's traffic being used somewhere in excess of what can normally handle. And I think I know what's going on. I'm probably pushing internet on a stream on two connections at one time. Yeah, that's probably exactly what I'm doing. It's warning me. And that's what happens when you have two networks going at one time. Now, which one is easier to kill? I'm thinking about it here as I'm talking. But we'll just let it, I think what I'll do, is I think I will kill that one. And yeah, we'll kill that one for now. We'll let the other one keep cranking. That's probably to be the better way. So let me let's see, what else have I got in the stack here? Hey, there's going to be a special link in the show notes tonight to win one of these new Boxy boxes. So all you got to do is look for the special link, and all you got to do is tweet. And it'll be a special link that'll basically allow you to tweet that you watch the show. And they'll have that link in the actual show notes. All you got to do is basically click on that. I'll have a special hashtag set up there so that you'll be able to just all you got to do is click and tweet. And you basically will be entered to win one of these Boxy boxes. So we'll give that away on the next show when I'm in Texas. So one thing I wanted to demonstrate for you guys tonight, and I've really been blown away by the new features in GoToMeeting. And we'll talk about GoToMeeting here for a second, then I'm going to do a quick demo for you. But, you know, meetings are essential, really, to the way we work. And, we have an opportunity to share ideas, problem solve, and develop, really, some very good creative solutions when you're working together. But, you know, if your team's like mine spread across in different locations, you know, we have to work smart, and we use a great product, GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's really a powerful and simple way to meet and collaborate online. And, you know, I'm going to show you something here with the iPad and how you can use GoToMeeting with HD Faces to actually do a meeting with your iPad no matter where you're at. So really, it doesn't matter where anyone is located. GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier for everyone to be on the same page. And with the built-in HD video conferencing, you can see each other's face. And really, it's amazingly easy to join a meeting from anywhere using a computer, phone, or even a tablet. And now you can present with your iPad. So what I want you to do is you can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. And for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST, GoToMeeting, meeting is believing. And again, it's real easy to just go over to the GoToMeeting website, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. So let me show this to you real quick. Those of you watching the video, let me bring up the iPad. And for those of you that are actually listening, what I'm doing is I've got the iPad up, and I'm going to click the GoToMeeting icon, and it loads the GoToMeeting session. I've already got my account set up in here, and I'm going to click on My Meetings, and I have to log in. It's going to log in with my password, and all at the very bottom of it just says Meet Now. So if I want to meet, or I can schedule a meeting as well, but I can meet now by just clicking Meet Now, and it takes just a second, and it launches the meeting. And of course, in practicality, there it goes. Okay, so just launched. So all you have to do is, they've got the ability here to share from the cloud, so you can connect to a cloud account. They got the ability up here to log into share files, to be able to pull something in from one of those accounts. You can share from your browser. You can enter a URL address. All you got to do is enter the URL address up in top. So I'll come back to that in a second here. And then you can share a whiteboard, so you can sketch ideas with a drawing tool. So let me bring the board on, and just let me show you guys this. Of course, I'm just going to write my name, Todd, and put that in there. And it works out awesome, and you can erase stuff real easy. And you can draw with a colored pen. It's slick. I mean, they have really done a cool job here. And there's lots of different things you can do in basically just making nice functionality. So let me change the pen here to green and G and C. So you can see I'm a real fancy a drawing person here. But again, I can enter an address. I can put in geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral.com, and go to the website. So it's loading Geek News Central. And I can actually, once this is loaded, I can actually turn on the drawing tools on, and I can actually draw on the website itself to highlight something. I mean, it's really slick. It really is. So you can do a meeting right on your iPad. And again, you can go to the cloud. You can just, you can actually have a presentation set up. So you got bookmarks set up and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff that you can do to really make this thing work real well. And of course, I can turn on the camera. So let me go ahead and turn on my camera, so you guys can see this in the video. I actually got it so I can share my webcam, so they can actually see me at the same time that I'm doing all this with the iPad. So it's really slick. It really is. And let me turn that off. So again, you can see that I'm on. I can move the location of the video around, or I can just go ahead and I can pause it and I can get rid of it as well. So, I mean, this thing is really, really slick. And I tell you, I was pretty impressed with it the first day I used it. And it really works well. I mean, this is powerful stuff for an iPad app. And being able to do right in an iPad session, have a meeting with a multitude of people. And it says go to meeting recording. So I was actually... Yeah, I have to shut that off. Okay, so anyway, so let's come back to me. And, you know, that really is what I wanted. And those of you that were listening, you got to check this out. It's very, very cool from that perspective. And I look forward to being able to use this more and share my experiences with it. But you just got to try it. Again, that free 30-day trial. Once you've used this, you're going to say, holy smokes, this is really something. So you can be anywhere and do a meeting, and that's big. It really, really is. And I guess that's what it's all about. So anyway, I just wanted to show that to you guys and basically just a quick demo. We'll give you a real good demo when we do the Citrix Code, basically when we do in our next Tech Podcast Roundtable. I'll do a full demo of this and give a much more detailed explanation of everything that we're looking at. But sorry about that. Let's go ahead and get into the rest of the stuff I've got here for Tech Talk tonight. Let me go ahead and bounce into open this up. And I want to talk about what's been going on the East Coast. And many of you are probably going to listen to the show after you've gotten power back. And boy, I tell you, I fully understand and feel your pain. When I was went through Typhoon Omar in Guam in 1992, it was 37 days without power. It was a super typhoon. It was pretty incredible. I had lost a roof of the hangar. Walls were collapsing. But when it was all done, when the storm was all over, like 30, 35, 36 hours later, I crashed on a couch that was sitting on coffee cans. There was still water in the building that I was in. And basically the couch was high enough off the ground that the coffee cans kept me from getting wet. It kept the couch from getting soaked. And I slept like a baby for like 5 hours, didn't move. If I'd have rolled off, I'd have drowned. But I understand how these storms are. But let's talk about what's been going on in New York City. And I've been following the saga of the folks at Squarespace. And they have essentially been doing a bucket brigade for the past couple of days to keep fuel in their generator. They've had to hump as much as 40 gallons of diesel fuel an hour up 17 floors to get it into the tank that has been feeding their generator. And just late this afternoon, the data center that they're in rigged up some new way to get fuel up into their data center. And essentially what was going on was that extra generators that were used to pump fuel in a big storage tank they had in the basement flooded out. So Pier 1, which is a huge data provider, they've been essentially pretty much some of their customers have been offline, but it's a miracle that they were able to hump fuel to stay up and stay online. So I got to hand it to Squarespace for going the extra mile to keep their customers' the sites online. But it raises a question, why would one have a data center in a known flood zone? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Not to say that, everyone is not without risk. We had an Amazon outage over a week ago that really made us sit back and think about some of the things that we were doing and spreading, basically trying to spread the love around and make sure that we had a better recovery plan. Our critical services stayed online, but we had to bring down some of our services. But, so Squarespace, they've been able to stay up and stay online. But everyone hasn't been as fortunate. Gawker, Huffington Post, and a variety of, let me look to see if Gawker's still online today or offline. If I bring up Gawker's site, yeah, they are still, they're basically have been publishing to a WordPress site here over the past couple of days. Their data center is still offline. And so this is 2 days. Here you got this huge site and Gawker's been off and it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What were these guys thinking? A big company like Gawker, you would have thought that they would have had sufficient cross-pollination of their servers not to have been taken out by this storm. But it's not the case. And it's not the case for a lot of companies. Huffington Post has been off. I think they partially recovered. And I've been following the website. A new one that I'm reading now is datacenterknowledge.com. And, they've got updates here. I'm talking about what's been going on with the network. I'm talking about data centers overheating because of not being able to have enough air conditioning ever since things have went to pot. At Zayo Communication Data Center at 111 8th Street in Manhattan, the temperature was over 100 degrees in their data center. And it just goes on and on. It talks about Verizon having problems and data center at Via West, at InterExon and QTS, and just a whole number of sites that have had huge issue. Now, if you look at outages and how much of an outage there is by networks, and you look at each state. You know, you look at New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. It shows you, you know, basically scaled there, how many networks are offline. And I was pretty impressed with a video that they did. And I don't know if this has got any audio or not. We'll go ahead and play this. But did it? Oh, it didn't show up. Let me scroll down here. And let me show you this video. So it's going to show you as the storm progressed, how, and you just see all of a sudden you see this red, it just shows up, red, orange, orange, red, 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 red. And it shows you over a couple of hours how things just fell off the chart. And just goes to show you that, you know, in a storm like this, when you have data centers and you have major network outages, that you know, you're going to be in trouble if you don't have redundancy from a web perspective. And, you know, you think about seawater flooding the streets and dumping into places where there's generators and cables and power. You know, Pier 1 was, you know, basically their basement filled. And, you know, and here you've got a generator on the roof. So Squarespace is now saying that their worry now is that at some point their generator is going to have to be shut down to change a fuel filter out. And so they're going to have to bring their entire operation offline and in order just to change a fuel filter out. So there's not any new news about when Lower Manhattan's going to get power back. So, you know, this is part of the challenge that any of us would have whenever the lights go out. I'm going to tell you, folks, it just sucks. I mean, it sucks big time. If you had ever had more than a couple of days of power outages, you know what I'm talking about. In my case, I was running a bulletin board at the time in Guam when Typhoon Omar came in. And I had gone through a recent divorce and had basically in a divorce decree, my generator went to my ex-wife. So I was broke. I didn't have enough money for another generator. And long story short, my bulletin board, which was a money-making operation for me, was, you know, essentially offline those full 37 days that I didn't have power. Now, I had telephones the entire time. I had water, didn't have hot water, but had water. And we barbecued a lot and made the best of it. But you know, just imagine a lot of people in the Eastern Seaboard don't even have water. Now, many of you that live in Florida or other states that have had hurricanes before, we all know the drill, right? We understand it. And I understand the drill. When someone tells me there's a hurricane 2 or 3 days out, I know to prepare. Now, we've got a hurricane kit here. I know without a doubt that we could probably last 7 days with minimum supplies that we would have to have, you know, water, canned goods, that kind of stuff. Because when the power goes out like it is now, some of these folks are going to be without juice for a week or more. And you look at their vehicles have been destroyed. A lot of their vehicles. So how they get out, they don't get out. Either they got to hoof it out or go to a shelter. And so technology is huge. And, you know, from a business standpoint, from a geek standpoint, if I was in some of these companies' cases where my network was down and, you know, like 5 states, 6 states affected, but the rest of the country is still online and business is normal, and my servers are offline because of the storm, I'd be freaking out. And I understand why the folks at Squarespace did the bucket brigade to keep the generator fueled. And believe me, my heart goes out to them. It cannot be any fun. And if you want to read, I'm going to put a link in tonight's show notes to status.squarespace.com. But I think the question really has to be asked, I think will be asked from here on out. Do you have options when it comes to putting data centers next to floodplains. But if you think about it, most data centers need a high quantity of water to keep their plants cool. So they're oftentimes data centers are put next to rivers, and rivers flood from time to time as well. But, you know, we live in such a digital world that folks in New York are, you know, they're unable to charge their cell phones. You know, people are being nice and they're setting up places to charge laptops and to charge phones, and they got power strips out, and, you know, people nice enough to, you know, let stuff get charged, and people are waiting in line to get their stuff charged. So, you know, this is, you think about that. Your laptop goes dead and you can't charge it. Well, what if the network's down? Do you really need it? But we're all such gadget junkies that we all want our gadgets to be working. And so anyway, it's an interesting thing. And you got such a mass of people in that metropolitan area, you know, millions of people are being affected. And everyone's being nice right now. But I'm going to tell you, if it goes on very long, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. People's patience run out. People expect things to work quickly. They expect things to come online quickly. They don't want to wait. They don't want to 37 days with the power being out is unacceptable to most people. More than a couple of days is unacceptable. But when you don't have power, you don't have gas, you don't have, you know, you can't get gas out of the gas pumps. It's just a cascading effect of things that are happening. Someone's got something in the chat room here. It says, and this is kind of off topic. He says, as a person with a blog talk radio podcast wants to get better without a ton of money, what are your feelings about using a 3K audio box for that? A JK audio box? Okay. I really don't typically don't answer at this portion of the show, but I'll say on the JK audio boxes, they're kind of cheap and they don't do a real good bridge. If you want to buy one, the best one to buy is a Telos. But why do a phone bridge? Why don't you do it via Skype? Skype quality is pretty awesome from being able to have guests call in and that kind of stuff. You know, have your guests call in via Skype, you know, stream. You can stream audio relatively inexpensive and high quality. You know, I've got an audio stream running right now on this show and video. But if you do an audio stream tied to if you want people to call in, you have a Skype line that people can call in. That way you're guaranteed you're going to get fantastic audio quality. Very few people are doing anything with telephone stuff. Now, I've got in this studio, and let me switch it here, and back here behind me in my audio rack, I've got two Telos bridges that probably has been a couple of years since I've used those, because everyone calls in now on the Skype line, and you don't have to have a big fancy monitor if you're just doing audio. You can just have a laptop sitting on the side tied in. It takes a little bit of work, but you can get great quality out of Skype. That's the way I would go. So good luck. And if you got any more questions, definitely email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. So anyway, the whole thing in New York is pretty crazy. And we'll see how long people's patience last. I know in Guam, after about the first week, patience is done and fights break out around ice trucks and everything else. So, you know, they have to call the sheriff's department in or the police in to essentially protect ICE drivers. And I think the same will go for, you know, when people are bringing charcoal and different types of stuff into the city for people to cook when the power's still down. And one thing too, and you know, this is something for just to keep in the back of your mind, all of you, if you ever get into a situation when you're in a national disaster like that, or a natural disaster, and your juice goes out, go to your main circuit breaker in your house and basically disconnect the main power. You want to be disconnected from the grid so that when the grid does come back on and it's doing this, it's waving as it gets stabilized, you don't want those waves being affected into your home electrical grid. So definitely disconnect your main power supply from the grid at the basically at your circuit breaker level in your house. And then, you know, after the power comes on, wait a little while to make sure that the outside power is staying on before you. And basically, I turn all my breakers off. I put the main on, and then I, one by one, I turn circuits back on to bring power back on in the house. I don't want this big surge happening in my home either. So just a little bit of a tip for those of you. And I probably should have gave that tip before Sandy hit, and some of the listeners out on the East Coast may been able to protect our electronics better. All right. Lifehacker.com, they're down too. Their data center was affected. So surprisingly, all these sites, East Coast sites that are been affected. You know, I was doing data center watch here. I was watching the Amazon site real close for all of our services at Raw Voice. Of course, Geek News Central is running on a GoDaddy server out in Des Moines. I don't think I have to worry about floods there. I may have to worry about tornadoes. But Des Moines and in Phoenix, I believe that's where most of the data centers are for GoDaddy. But yeah, Lifehacker's offline as well. So they had these, you know, these links to stuff that is coming up and talking about different items about news. And they're trying to do news on these WordPress sites, but none of them were linking directly to the articles. So they're having challenges. Now, Huffington Post, even though that they've had some challenges with their site, they've launched a new iPad app that, as I'm looking through this, I'm doing one of these head smackers. And matter of fact, I ought to talk about the folks over at F5 Live. They are creating a Windows 8 phone app, or Windows 8 app, podcasting app, and waiting for that to come out on the street. But Huffington Post has put together a pretty nice iPad app that really, as I'm thinking about it, is really a pretty awesome development. So what they've got is really they've got an ability to play the live stuff, and then they've got the social tied into the same page so that you can, as you're watching a live video, you can basically make comments and be engaged with the community. And it's really slick what they've done. And of course, then if you're into the live that's being played on HuffPost live iPad app, you can AirPlay that over to your Apple TV. And then you're watching on TV, and at the same time, you're doing the social media stuff as stuff is live. Really, really smart. And let's see if I can give a bigger picture here for those of you watching. And so, you know, they got the video on one side. They've got the guest information and the social media on the other. And then, of course, and once they go switch it over to AirPlay mode, then the app really just lets you right there make comments and put stuff to the variety of different social media sites, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, or whatever. Pretty slick. And I'm going to definitely, and of course, I've just read about this tonight. I'm not necessarily a big Huffington Post website reader, but I'm definitely going to be checking out their app. And I can guarantee you, from what I've seen, this looks like the way to go in building a cool app for one's website and for people that are doing live and replay stuff. And I've also been investing in some, not investing, but looking at some new software to do replay here. I don't want the TriCaster running 24/7 when I shut down. Playing with the Wirecast application to kind of do that as replay, but not super pleased with this playback function. But I did find some other stuff today, so may have a new solution to do 24/7 playback, and not necessarily here. May go some have the data being replayed from a different location where we're closer to. Closer to the ingest point on the streaming sites. All right, so Box, there's the folks over at GigaOm did a review of the new Boxy TV, and first impressions are not bad. And this is going to be sold at Walmart, and you'll be able to pick it up off the shelf. It does require a $9.99 a month fee It's a no limit DVR. It does get over the air TV. So it does have some cool features. And of course, it's got all the different apps that Boxy has. So he says it's not a bad implementation. And I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. You'll definitely want to check out this review. I'm going to get one and we're going to give one away. So again, that link in the show notes tonight, all you got to do is tweet and basically through that link, and you'll get in the running for this new Boxy TV that I'll give away on the next show. So tonight I read something, and I really wanted to try to stay from getting political, but Facebook had censored something that Navy SEALs put online. And I'm not going to talk about the specific topic because it's all over most of the talk radio and some of the cable networks. But the Navy SEALs put something up on there. And essentially after that, Facebook censored the post. And it was kind of political in nature. And a lot of people are pissed off at Facebook saying that they are censoring viable news and information is trying to be get out. And it really makes me wonder here why Facebook would censor specifically the U.S. Navy SEALs message that was put online. And, you know, I don't know if this is a special, if this is an official, I doubt this is an official channel of the U.S. Navy to put this online. I would be shocked if it was. So it may be some organization, but you know, the meme has went viral already because of Facebook taking it down. Probably would have never been seen, but it kind of surprised me that Facebook would take anything offline. You know, they've got a couple of policies, but this one here, I don't fully know why they did, but they did. So it kind of concerns me that they're implementing censorship. Now, in more news, and one that really should make us, and I got something I'm going to tell you here that's just going to probably shock most of you to the core, and maybe not, maybe you expect this, but the feds have said no dice in retrieving data seized in the mega upload case. And they basically say, no, it's not going to happen. They put together some tenets of what people would have to do in order to get access to their media. This is what they were putting forth to the judge. But more brazenly, the government has basically took it upon themselves and admitted that they had accessed Kyle Goodwin's mega upload account, and they had reviewed the contents of his files on his mega upload account. And this is a pretty frightening step, invasion of privacy here, where they have actually went in and looked at the information on this guy's, and they're not going to give it to him, but they've looked at it. And then they've used that information in the actual court case to try to discredit Kyle Goodwin. So basically they said, remember, this is a guy that does, he's got a high school sports network. He does videos for high school sports teams and does live streaming, that kind of stuff. But when they looked at his account, they said that there was some additional data in there that he didn't own the copyright to, or they allege that he did not own the copyright to. So the government did not have a warrant to specifically access Cal Goodwin's data. So this should terrify any user of cloud computing. The government is maintaining that Mr. Goodwin lost his property rights in his data by storing it on a cloud computing service. Specifically, the government argues that both the contract between Mega Upload and Mr. Goodwin, a standard cloud computing contract, and the contract between Mega Upload and the server's host limit any property interest he may have. So if the government's right on this, no provider can protect itself against sudden losses like those due to a hurricane and also government seizing gear. So in other words, because you have your stuff in the cloud, the government said, we can go in and get it. We can look at it. We can sample it. And we can do this with whatever reason we want because you don't own it anymore. And there's no privacy and no need to get a warrant to do so. So the government's tactic here, if a user tries to get their property backed, the government's not going to hesitate to comb through the property and try to find an argument to use against them. This is incredible. What has transpired in this case? This should go to the Supreme Court. Whatever is going to happen here, this is going to go high and wide because they essentially, they took the site down because of what Mega Upload was supposedly doing. This guy wants his data back. They said, oh no, we're going to go look at your data. And they did. They still won't give it to him. So here's what the government told the judge and how the judge should consider before agreeing that Goodwin should get his files. That whether Mr. Goodwin has clean hands or whether he is barred from attaining equitable relief. Two, the cost of the, and technical feasibility of finding a single user's data. So in other words, he has to pay to get it out. Three, the number of other affected parties similar situated to him. Number four, how, if all, the government can prevent the return of infringing materials and other contraband from the server. In other words, they don't want to return infringing materials, what they consider infringing. Five, and whether other cheaper remedies exist, such as data recovery from Mr. Goodwin's hard drive. So let's get this straight. If the government comes into your home and takes your computer, they have to have a search warrant. Okay? They cannot just bust your door down and take your gear away without a search warrant. If they hand you a search warrant that says they can seize your hard drives, your media, digital media, blah, 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 they'll take every USB stick, every hard drive, every computer, everything that you own will go out the door in a van. And you have no way to get it back until you have cleared yourself or you have tried to get it back through legal actions and everything. But if you are on a cloud computer with a whole bunch of other people and that data is seized by the government because of supposed infringement or whatever or the reason the government does to seize the server, they can comb through your data at will. Now, that should make all of you sit back and go, holy crap. It really should. So I understand why Mega, M-E-G-A, that's going to be the new Mega site, that was announced as well. It makes you understand why he is going to encrypt all data that goes up into that cloud service. Now, if you think about that, how many of you are using cloud services where everything has just went up in plain text? Nothing's encrypted. Nothing is wrapped in an encryption wrapper. It should really make you sit back. If you've got documents up there, you are not protected. Your data can be combed through by the government, by law enforcement, under whatever pretense they want at this point. Now, the EFF is on the case here with this Kyle Goodwin and have filed some very strong language and posted some very strong concerns on the internet. But I think all of us can really sit back and go, when we think about what Meg is doing and encrypting any media that is uploaded to his new service that will launch on January 20th. It makes you think about using a service when it comes out, because if you've got stuff on Amazon, if you've got stuff on Dropbox, if you've got your stuff on any other service out there, and again, it's just, I'm not trying to hide nothing, but here's the deal. It's just the fact that we have certain inalienable rights that are absolutely being stomped on, and privacy is non-existent in the digital world, as far as Uncle Sam is considered, at least in this instance. But this is scary stuff, and we'll see where this leads. We will definitely be watching how this judge rules, and we'll see where this data issue goes. But it should really make you think what you send to the cloud and how it's sent. How many of your encrypting data you're sending to the cloud? I bet you not a lot. I know I got a lot of stuff that's not encrypted up on the cloud. Word docs, PDFs, that kind of stuff. Never had the need to encrypt something, but it makes you go, Now, they can still demand that you unencrypt stuff. They come into your house, kick your stuff encrypted. They can say, give us the passcode to unlock that. And, you know, if you don't, you likely can be hauled off for contempt of court and put in jail. So, you know, that instance. But if it's digitally up there, I think they would not be as inclined. So they can't have their cake and eat it, too. So if they're going to, you know, if they're going to say you don't own it no more and it's encrypted, you know, okay, I don't have to open that up. I don't own it no more. It's, you know, so, you know, it's going to work two ways. But we'll see. We'll see where this leads. The next thing is pretty disgusting. And if you get an email from isanybodydown.com asking for some money to take pictures off a website, you are being strong-armed. And I've got a pretty sick site here. Essentially, what's going on is someone is taking pictures, primarily adult pictures, and putting them up on a website and then sending through another site a shakedown message saying, hey, we see your pictures over here. For $250, I can guarantee 100% that these photos will be taken down. And surprisingly, the data on both sites and the information about both domains is apparently from the same person and not necessarily a lawyer. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to review. The best thing to do is make sure you don't have any naked pictures of yourself stuck anywhere that someone can get a hold of. All right, a federal court has handed down the largest ever damages award on a BitTorrent case in a default judgment. Defendant Kaiwan Fisher from Hampton, Virginia, is ordered to pay $1,500,000 to adult entertainment company FlavaWorks for sharing 10 of their movies on BitTorrent. The total was reached through penalties of $150,000 per movie, the maximum possible statutory damage under U.S. copyright law. He didn't show up and defend himself. So he didn't come and say, hey, I did it, I'm sorry. He just let the court act on himself. So because he failed to defend himself, the judge had little choice but to find this guy guilty. So this will get his attention. $1,500,000 is what he has to pay this company. So don't, if you get summoned to go to court and you're served, you better go. Don't think it's going to go away. It won't. So this guy's got a $1.5 million. I'm sure something will happen and he'll try to appeal. Now he'll be half forced to get a lawyer and pay him big money where he could have probably settled out of court. UTorrent listeners to Reddit after backlash over toolbar installer. Apparently BitTorrent had in the UTorrent application had some additional things it was loading as a writer. And people are not happy about it. But, you know, let's face it. These companies are trying to figure out how they're going to make money. They're giving away software. They got to figure out how to make some cash. So that's why they're providing some of these additional applications and the changing default functionality on certain things. But people aren't very happy about it. But, you know, there is a way around it. You can deselect the things that they try to implement. A link pirate was sentenced to pay $13,000 to the NBA, NFL, NHL, WWE, and TNA. earlier this year, U.S. authorities had arrested Yanjo Kuro of Comstock Park on suspicion of operating several websites that linked to unauthorized sports streams. Following his arrest, he was detained for more than 9 months. He has now been sentenced to time served. He's been deported to his home country. In addition, the site Inman has to pay restitution to five major sports leagues, totaling $13,000. So, interesting here. And so this is a first verdict against an operator of a sports streaming site and sets the bar for similar cases in the future. So if you're basically streaming video sports programming, stuff that you're not supposed to, you will go to 9 months he spent in jail. And he's not going to get that time back. A lot cheaper to pay the $13,000, but I guess he couldn't get out of jail. All right, a little bit on the browser scene. Firefox has dipped below 20%. Chrome has fallen in percentage. Internet Explorer has actually made gains. So that's new info. So right now, let's look at the data here. Firefox 17.87, Chrome 16.58, Safari 10.87, Internet Explorer 48.5. Eight. Pretty amazing to me that many people are still using IE by default. Worldwide desktop browser market share. This is worldwide 54.1 for Internet Explorer, 19.99 for Firefox. Chrome is at 18.55. As you can see from the line I'm showing up on the screen right now, and those of you that are listening, basically Firefox and Chrome have both seen declines while IE has started to climb again. And, of course, the mobile browser market, Safari Mobile 60.3, Android Browser 25.95, Opera Mini 8.24, and everyone else falls below that. But Safari's dropped off. Android is on the upswing. And it looks at Internet Explorer version adoption. Less than 10% are using IE6, where a majority of the folks are using IE8 or IE9. And then it breaks off into Firefox version adoption. A huge number of people are still using Firefox 4 to 9. And then it's kind of spread out all the way through version 16 from about a year ago. And the same thing with Chrome adoption, pretty spread across from a year ago as well. So that's kind of what's going on in the browser space from a utilization standpoint. But the main thing is Firefox has definitely taken a hit. How many of you remember Sharp? Sharp is a electronics firm in Japan. On Thursday, the company said it has sustained a 249.1 billion yen or $3.12 billion loss for its latest quarter. The second year, it's had a record deficits. The company still has about $10 billion of debt. It's operating a net loss for the 6 months ended September 30th. Were huge. And they basically say that there is material doubt over its corporate survival. And they don't think that they can recover. Sharp said it would take on expense reduction, including voluntary retirement and cutting salaries, and it would sell off some of its assets and seek new lines of credit. In August, the company said it would cut 5,000 jobs globally, the first layoffs in over six decades. That's huge. Sharp is in a desperate situation. It tries to deal with short-term funding problems. And they may not make it. So Sharp as a brand may be going away. It's also being reported that thousands of sites have been misconfigured and running specifically Apache, where people's basically passwords are easy to get access to. So they say there's over 100,000 websites that have exposed status pages, either through HTTP or SSL protocols. And so that's big. And so a lot of folks are scrambling to patch some of the stuff and make some of the stuff not available that's out there for those that are running Apache. You're definitely going to want to read this article and look at your server. All right, iOS 6.0.1 is available. They've made a bunch of updates. And let me bring up the updates here. Let me take a shot of water. Okay, they fixed a bug that prevented iPhone 5 from installing software updates wirelessly over the air. I think that was happening to some iPhone 4 as well. They fix a bug where horizontal lines were could be displaying across the keyboard. They fix an issue that could cause camera flash not to go off. They've worked on the Wi-Fi stuff. They've resolved issues that prevents iPhones from using some cellular networks in some incidences. And they fixed a passcode lock bug, which sometimes allowed access to passbook details from the lock screen. So they've updated a number of things in iOS 6.0.1. Make sure you get the update. If you're jailbroke already, be careful. All right, teardown of iPad mini is more like a big iPod touch rather than an iOS devices. And boy, I tell you, the reviews on the iPad mini have not been strong. And a lot of people have been bashing it. So be curious to see how sales of this does. But it says it looks just like an iPad mini, which kind of makes sense. Has an A5 chip, of course. But link will be up in the show notes if you want to look at the teardown. Well, Apple is definitely in trouble with a UK judge. Remember we talked about Apple using a real snarky, yes, we're sorry, Samsung type of a letter? Well, a UK judge was unamused by Apple's interpretation of the order requiring the company publicly acknowledge that Samsung didn't copy Apple's designs. On Thursday, the UK Court of Appeal gave Apple a slap on the wrist and said, you're going to redo this. And Apple has 24 to 48 hours to post an updated statement. And so maybe this time with a little less snarkiness. But the judge was not happy at all and pretty much blasted them double barrel. And long story short here, they tried, but they got in trouble. All right. Another article here talking about Android tablets. Where they're sitting in the market share, they're saying that Android tablets have got about 41% of the market share right now, which is pretty surprising considering how iOS tablets have been selling. So that basically gives you a major shift here where iOS tablets were at 64%, now down to 57%, and with 41% being Android and the rest made up by everyone else. So a little bit of a move here. And of course, if you go into any store, you see just a line of Android devices. I was in a Costco today, and they have all the new Windows 8 machines out, a lot of tablets. I was playing around with some machines. But anyway, kind of cool. All right, let me see here. Google outage. Well, I guess Google had an outage. I want you all to think about this. What would happen if Google, Gmail, Drive, Voice, and all the other services that many of us use on a daily basis went offline? Would it be just like losing power? Would you be able to continue to do business? And some things I do, I wouldn't. I'd be stuck. I'd have to recreate spreadsheets and stuff. A lot of stuff we have is just up in the cloud and only in the cloud on Google Drive. And it really made me think a little bit about that. And maybe we're going to work on pulling stuff down. There's some services that do that back that up. But imagine if your whole organization relied on Google Google Apps and all the other services that go along with it. But there was about a 10-minute outage a couple days ago, and people definitely freaked out about it for sure. Let's see here. The folks over at Mozilla have put together a huge HTML5 article. And if you're a web developer, if you want to see what HTML5 is capable of, you're going to want to read this article. I'll link it up in the show notes. It's called HTML5 Myth Busting. And again, it's over at hacks.mozilla.org. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to review it. But definitely check it out. Hey, Windows upgrades. There's lots of you have been sending me links and stuff. I do appreciate that. Found an article over at Engadget talking about an individual's experience with a 3-screen setup and how his Windows 8 upgrade went, and got some positive things to say. And speed of use and some other things. But I'll have the link up in the show notes in this. You guys will definitely want to read this if you're thinking about upgrading to Windows 8 and you have more than one monitor. And I only run two here. Hey, if you want to donate to the Red Cross, the folks on iTunes are basically making it easy for you to donate right in the App Store. So definitely check that out. That's available. Or you can go to American Red Cross website at redcross.org. A couple articles over at Geek News Central. Alan did a pretty nice write-up on the Rovio released of C C-3PO R2-D2 trailer, trailer for Angry Birds, and of course the $4 billion purchase of basically everything Star Wars related by Disney has run ripples through the space. A lot of people are disgruntled, but you know, how do you guys think? What do you guys think about that? And I don't know how Disney's gonna, you know, gonna keep the meme alive. A lot of folks are saying it. Hey, it was done. It was done. We shouldn't go any further with the Star Wars trilogy. But Disney sees otherwise. They see cash, dollar signs. Buying it for $4 billion, they had to see something big. And I'm sure a lot of the technology they bought with that group is big as well. But they're going to say another movie, 2014 or 2015 for the next Star Wars movie. All right, new from Google Voice. It's new from Google Voice Search for iOS and changes in Gmail Compose. And I've been using the new Gmail Compose a little bit. Not too bad. It works pretty good. Allows me to do other things at the same time. So if you haven't downloaded the new iOS app, please do so, because you can try using Siri or the actual app, the actual voice recognition in the actual app itself. And KL has a good write-up on that, so I'll definitely have that link up in the show notes. Okay, PayPal is offering price matching free return shipping for the holidays. So if you buy something on eBay specifically, when a purchase product is advertised for less by any merchant within 30 days, consumers who pay with PayPal can get reimbursed the difference. All that they will need to fill out a request and submit a copy of the receipt and the advertisement to get reimbursed. Users can get up to $1,000 in total price matching through December 31st and up to $250 on any one item. This applies to airline tickets that go on sale within 7 days as well. PayPal is also offering free return shipping on products. Consumers who file a claim will get a prepaid shipping label within 5 days, or they'll get a refund in their PayPal balance for the shipping cost. Free return shipping is limited to $100 during your promotion or $25 for each item. And PayPal is also promoting its 6-month free financing for purchases over $99 through Bill Me Later, which is offered to small businesses for the first time last month. So lots of cool stuff by PayPal if you buy something through an eBay store. All right. Last couple. Well, I got actually more than a couple of articles. We're going to go long already. Let's see here. What do we have here? Hey, the Kremlin's new internet surveillance plan has went live today. And boy, oh boy, Putin really is doing a number on the Russian people. It's just basically another way to censor and lock sites out. But nothing has changed too much in Russia. And a lot of old communist tactics are being used by Putin. So, but anyway, their new surveillance plan is available. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to review. If you're an Evernote fan and you use a Mac, you can get an update for it. There's an update to version 5 that's available on the street. And I've never used Evernote too much. A little bit of a leak, but there's going to be a physical Google Wallet credit card. And apparently you can link this credit card to any one of your specific cards. Somehow it gets programmed. I don't know how exactly this works. But anyway, they're going to have this tied to Google Wallet so that you'll be able to use this with merchants. Kind of an interesting move. Not a lot of details on this. In a sad note, years of work lost as Hurricane Sandy drowns rat colonies at the New York University DeSantis Research Lab. Storm claims over 10,000 lab animals used to study cancer and other ailments. And this is pretty devastating for the New York University, specifically the Smilo Research Center in Kips Bay. So over 10,000 animals drowned because of storm surge during the storm. And a decade of research data is gone. A little more information going on. Of course, the last shuttle's retirement. The folks have been moving, getting ready to move Atlantis to the Kennedy Space Center main tourist stop to be put on display. And after this gets moved, lots of layoffs for the rest of the folks that work on the shuttle program. For those of you that love very stylistic stuff, there's a very cool, it's from a company called 12 South. They've introduced what's called the Hi-Rise for MacBook stand. $70. Pretty nice, pretty standard brushed aluminum look. So if you want to get your Mac off your desktop a little bit and up a little higher, this is a nice stand. It's available. Again, it's Hi-Rise for iMac, and I have that link in the Hi-Rise for the MacBook and for the iMac. They have a product as well. If you're wanting to check the battery condition in your laptop, they've got a new app out there to do that. I have a link up in the show notes that shows you how to get that installed and do that. Article by CNET as well. If you're a WinZip fan, WinZip 17 is available. It's adding some features where you can send stuff up to the cloud, and there's also social sharing features. I don't know why I would need to do social sharing using WinZip. It doesn't seem to, seems like kind of like a dumb feature, but I haven't used WinZip in years. Well, if they'd had a couple more years, they say they may have been able to block the water that was basically flooded the tunnels in New York City. It's an inflatable 35,000-gallon subway plug. It's an actual, basically, it's a plug that fills up with water, and it basically goes right in the subway line, and it stops water from filling, basically by acts as a dam. So it's not quite ready, but this project started in 2007 as a way to be employed for terrorist attacks on main infrastructure, and it's not ready for prime time yet, but they say this probably would have saved New Yorkers a bunch of time pumping out the tunnels. All right, I'm sure all of you have heard this Korean hit, Gangnam Style. I got two kids around here that can sing the doggone song. They don't speak any Korean, but if you're into it, you can get a Oppa Gangnam Style USB drive and put that, have that in your pocket and put on your desk. So, nothing like great merchandising, right? Right, over on Ogizmo, how many of you like the feel? How many of you remember the old paper typewriters, the old school ones? Well, you can now buy a USB typewriter. Basically, it's using some of the same functions that was in the old days, but it's all tied in so that you now it just goes right on your screen normal. Again, this is probably something that you'd keep on the shelf as a gag, but you can buy one for $699. Link will be up in the show notes. You know, gotta love all these custom ice cube trays, and if you like. Get a portable companion cube. So these are available. This is kind of cool. For a few bucks, $13, you can get a tray that makes a tray of 10. So I always kind of looking for this kind of stuff for like parties and stuff, especially people geek out. A lot of fun. Okay, I guess that's, let me look here. Is that all I've got for tonight? Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got in articles. But let me see what I've got here in email. And those of you that have been watching live, thanks for hanging out with me here tonight. So, got an email here from Dan. He says, hey, Todd, here's his link to you. He says, travel tips to unlock that old iPhone for overseas use. So, he's got a link for me there. I'll check that out. Got an email here from Jack. He says, hey, Todd, click on this link. This is a voicemail. So, let's see if this will work here. I hope this, I haven't previewed this, Jack. All right, let's go ahead and I think we're going to be able to hear this. Let's play this.
Hey, Todd, this is Jack from Texas.
Hey.
I wanted to follow up on your Windows 8 comments for show 812. I understand and agree with most of your observations on Windows 8. It's not intuitive at all, and it's very different from any other operating system we've ever had. The search issue, for example, is actually a prime example of not intuitive. On Windows 8 Pro, just start typing when you're on the Metro screen and you will see the search results as you type. I suspect Surface is somewhat the same. Now for the pictures and contact issue you had. Over the years, I have uploaded some of my vacation pictures and contact information to my Microsoft Live account. on initial install when I was building my Windows 8 machine, it wanted me to sign into the computer with my Windows 8 Live account information. When I did this, all of my pictures and contacts were synchronized with the computer and my Microsoft Live account. And there they were on my computer before I touched anything. Kind of nice, actually. And you can do this with any Windows 8 system. Now, the Windows 8 Surface RT is a different animal. It's not an iPad nor a Windows 7 replacement.
That's true.
Windows 8 Surface seems to me to be the next step beyond the iPad for use by people that want to create or update a Word, Excel, PowerPoint document. And just like the iPad or any pad device, you can check your email, Twitter, or Facebook. Surface, I believe, you can also remote desktop into a PC or a server. That's kind of nice. You mentioned the desktop view. The Windows 8 Surface RT is not supposed to have a desktop. Hence, it will not run Windows 7 applications like Quicken, TurboTax, or Photoshop. Now, I've been using Windows 8 Professional Release Candidate for the past 4 months and have a few observations. Windows 8 Professional is intended to eventually replace Windows 7. If you have Windows 7's application, it will run on Windows 8 Pro. All of my Vista and Windows 7 applications run unmodified without a problem. Now, Microsoft has taken this Tile/Metro interface to the next level. For example, I installed or downloaded and installed a Windows Server 2012 Essentials release candidate, and it has the same interface. I had no problem installing and maintaining a server with this interface. There's only a few options that you really need to do, or a few applications that you really need to do. They pretty much a Swiss Army knife of options on each of those applications once you start them, so almost everything you want to do, you can do right there. Now, I have seldom had any issues with this interface, but then I haven't used Surface. I have grown very comfortable with Windows 8 and find that, in fact, I seldom use the Metro interface at all for a couple of reasons. One, all of my applications are full Windows 7 applications, and these run exclusively on the desktop. Then the other is the lack of Metro apps that I really care to use. I see the Twitter or the Facebook count or the email count. That's fine. Or the weather, the temperature goes by. Those are nice, but no reason. Unless I'm just doing nothing else. That's up there. It's kind of nice, but distracting sometimes. Microsoft has done a very poor job of explaining just what the Surface is and is not. I had hoped for an intro video to explain this, but for reasons known only to Microsoft, they did not. For this reason, I think Windows 8 Surface RT will be a big headache for a lot of people until they figure out what it can and cannot do with these Metro systems. I hope this helps. Good luck with your Windows Surface. You take care, and I will see you at CES 2018. Bye now.
Hey, Jack, thanks so much. And I'm actually coming out your way, man, so maybe we can do some dinner in about a week. So those of you that don't know, that's Jack, the TriCaster operator, Jack the cameraman, Jack the jack of all trades, and Jack is one of our team members that come to Vegas with us and work with us, and an integral team member here at Geek News Central. So those of you that just listened to that, what he used was the application, the link that's right on the Geek News Central website that says send comment. And all he did was basically click on that and start recording. And he was able to basically send us a feedback. And it sounded really good, didn't it? It sounded better than calling that voicemail hotline, which is available, which you can use. But, so definitely if you have a comment on the show, that's really a great way to send it in. Comes right into my email inbox. And that way, boom, I just click on it and it played right there live. Excuse me, live for me. So, Jack, thanks for being the first one to use that. And that was a perfect utilization of it. Got an email here from Henry. Says, aloha, Todd. Here's a couple of Windows 8 links that may make your learning curve easier. And he gives me a link to BGR.com and howtogeek.com. He says, there is one other key combination, Win plus X. It brings up a remnant of the old start menu, at least on desktop systems. If you know the name of an app, you can just type it in on the start screen. It's, as always, keep up the great podcast, Henry in Livonia, Michigan. Got an email here from Scott. From Richard. And he says, it's an ice storm. Scott Frosta out of Apple along with Retail Head. Yep, we covered that in the last show. Want to thank you for your link there, Richard, for sending that in. And I got an email here from Noah. He says, and this is basically, I'd sent, we'd connected on LinkedIn. And he says, hey, Todd, appreciate the connection. Been watching Raw Voice for some time. Want to reach out to be very interested in connection with how you guys use the cloud. I hope that your data centers in New York City get back online. Now, we didn't have any data centers in New York City. All our data centers were in Virginia, and we had no issue. We were up for the whole storm. He said, and basically, he wants to talk to us about cloud, or talk to me about cloud. Best one Noah did talk to is Angelo, and he can kind of share with you how we work in the cloud and to get in deeper. Got an email here from Bree, and Bree is in Washington, D.C. She says, hey, Todd. Fed workers had to telework. No one got off work. Bree, thanks for sending that over to me. I appreciate it. And she also says, Supremes did not shut down to hear cases that needed to get done. So she kind of scolded me here. DC was working on Monday. And, well, anyway, that... I think that wraps it up. I may have one more here. I got an email from James that avid lover of Windows 7 below, but far disappointed with anything resembling 8, Zune HDS, Windows Phone, Xbox Live, pretty much anything Windows 8 is atrocious. They claim they made quality apps when they are missing so much, but I guess that's Microsoft trying to play catch up with Apple and Google. Womp. So thanks for that, James. I appreciate it. Hey, folks, this is going to get us close to the wrap-up at the end of the show here. Don't forget, you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Reach out on Twitter, @geeknews. Follow me over there. You can follow me on LinkedIn, too. Just search for Todd Cochran. You can follow me on LinkedIn, facebook.com/Cochran as well. This is where you can find me on Facebook. And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors here. Don't forget, you can get all my access to all my promo codes by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and of course a 30-day trial with GoToMeeting and using that very cool iPad app and being able to host meetings right on your iPad, just slicker and heck. So definitely give that a try, GoToMeeting.com, and use the promo code podcast when you click the try it free button. Okay, that wraps me up. Thanks for being here. We're definitely long, but it is what it is, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Next show will be Saturday Morning Tech with some guests Saturday morning, and then I pack up and I load out, and I'm headed out for one more week of travel, and then I'll be here, I think, through probably the end of the month. But thanks for hanging out with me, and if you're on the East Coast, you got your power back, tell us how bad it was. Let us know. Let us know your experience. When you got back online, how the connection was, we want to hear from you, our East Coast Ohana, and we pray that all of you are safe and sound, and we hope that you're staying warm and you did not sustain too much damage. I'm waiting to hear from Andrew. Andrew, are you out there? He's in New Jersey, right across the river from Manhattan. So I'm Andrew was right in a major strike area. So I want to hear from Andrew. Hopefully he'll check in. Other than that, everyone take care. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Aloha.